Welcome back to Prophecy Unveiled, The Last Days, and I'm your host, Gail Stanford, a watchman for the people of God. Now, notice I didn't say the watchman for the people of God, but a watchman. You see, in these last days, God has many watchmen whose purpose is to warn the people of God about upcoming events or about their unfaithfulness to him. I would admonish that you learn who these watchmen are and listen to the messages that God has given them to give to you. The message today is that a plea has gone out from the living God. Yes, a plea. He's pleading today. Who is the living God? He's the one who hung the sun, moon, and stars. The God who fashioned man with his own hands and breathed into him his own breath. The God who once destroyed the entire earth with water because of its wickedness. The God who loved man so much that he gave his only begotten Son to become the sacrificial lamb to atone for man's sins. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, a plea. He is pleading with you today. He is warning us as his people to turn from your wicked ways. Let me say that again. God is pleading with us today. Those who call themselves people of God, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn from your wicked ways. Now, you've heard a lot of talk about the soul of this nation. But let me tell you, the target is not the soul of this nation. No. The target is your soul. It's not the soul of the nation that Satan is after. It is your soul. Matthew 10:28 says, "And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And that person, my friends, is Jehovah God. He said, in Ezekiel 18:4, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." No one, my friends, controls the destiny of your soul but God the Father. He also says in Matthew 16:26, "For what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The truth of the matter is your soul is destined either for heaven or hell, whether or not you believe in a heaven or hell. There is a spiritual battle going on right now at this very moment for your soul. Satan wants your soul in an eternal hell where he will be. But your Creator, the Lord God, wants your soul in an eternal heaven where he will be. Yes, the battle is for your soul. Are you willing to sacrifice it for money, position, fame, or in obedience to Satan? Jesus said in Matthew 23:37, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Brothers and sisters, it is time for all of God's people to commit our souls to him and to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The monstrous events that have happened in the past, such as September 11th, the pandemic, the rise in gas prices, the rise in lawlessness and crime, the loss of some of our God-given rights, are not just a warning to the people of the United States of America, but it's more so a warning to a people who call themselves a nation of God, followers of Jesus Christ. What has history revealed in regard to those nations whose people within it have turned their backs on the living God? From God's abidance with the nation of Israel until today, nations that once knew and abided by the commandments of God and then turned their backs were always defeated in battle or suffered some other great calamity. This was demonstrated over and over again by descendants to the throne of David, as recorded in the book of 2 Chronicles. These descendants were those who refused to walk in the counsel of God as their father David did. So when does God's wrath fall on a nation? God's wrath falls on a nation when his people who are in that nation are rebellious and refuse to live by his commandments. Let me say that again. God's wrath falls on a nation when his people, those who are called by his name, those who call themselves Christians, those who call themselves followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are in that nation are rebellious and refuse to live by his commandments. And God is pouring out his wrath upon these United States because his people who abide in it do not turn from their wicked ways. Is it possible that once we are made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can turn to wickedness? It is not only possible, but Ezekiel 13:20 says, again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. And Ezekiel 18:24 says, but when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, will he live? No, all his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered, for his treachery which he has committed and his sin which he has committed. For them he will die, so says the Lord. These are the words of the Lord. The Lord continues in verses 25 through 29 to justify the death of a righteous man who has turned from his righteousness. And let's not forget the words that God gave Peter. 2 Peter 2:21 says, for it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. Now, many of you have heard preachers recite 2 Chronicles 7:14. You've even heard me recite it on the podcast. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, and if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So my question to you today is, do you want God to hear from heaven? Do you want him to forgive our sins and heal this land? Do you want America healed today? Then you can't ignore the first part. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. But seldom do you hear anybody recite what God says would happen if his people don't turn from their wickedness, which is as equally important as verse 14. Let me tell you what God says. If you go on reading in that chapter in verses 17 through 22, he says to Solomon, and as for you, if you walk before me as your father David did, walked even to do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man to be ruler in Israel. You shall not lack a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot you from my land, which I have given you, and this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and byword among all peoples. As for this house which was exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? And they will say, because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them from the land of Great Britain. And they adopted other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. That will be the fate of America if the people of God within America do not turn from their wicked ways. Remember the story of Lot? The angels who God sent to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah first stopped to converse with Abraham, Lot's uncle, and they told Abraham what they were about to do. And Abraham feared for his life, for the life of his nephew and his nephew's family, because they lived in one of those cities. So he questioned God and asked him in Genesis chapter 19, 23-33, "Wilt thou indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" And he asked them if there were 50, if there were 45, if there were 30, if there were 20, if there were 10 righteous men in the city, would you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? And I love what God said to Abraham. He said, "Then for the sake of the 10, I won't destroy it." What a God. What a forgiving God. What a compassionate God. You know, it's not God's desire to destroy nations or people. He does not take pleasure in that. But the truth of the matter is there weren't 10 righteous men in all of Sodom. Amazing. Just 10 righteous men could have saved those cities. And so it is with America. Are there 10 righteous men in America? Who's standing for the unborn babies and against abortion? Who is standing for the children who are being accosted by pedophiles and being pushed to change their sexual preferences or genders? Who is marching for them? Who is swarming the gates of the White House or the Capitol or the Supreme Court for them? God's judgment upon a nation is tied to the faithfulness of his people who are in it. If the people of God in America, those who call themselves Christians or believers or whatever you want to call them, do not humble themselves and pray, admit that they are helpless without him and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, turn from their lying, turn from their stealing, turn from their fornication, turn from their adultery, turn from their homosexuality, turn from their drunkenness, turn from their idol worship, their worship of cars, of homes, of people, of children, then he will cast this nation out of his sight and make it a byword, a reproach, an insult to among all the world. People and countries around the world will be astonished at the destruction of the greatest country on earth. And they will ask, "Why has the Lord done this to them?" And others will reply to them, "Because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them from a foreign land to this land of plenty. And they adopted other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them." As God said to rebellious Israel in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, and I love this passage because it applies to us today. I believe with all my heart God is saying this to his people today. "Don't keep bringing me your worthless sacrifices, your worthless worship. I hate the incense you give. I cannot stand your festivals for the new moon, the Sabbath, and other special meeting days. You know, special meeting days like the pastor's anniversary or the choir's anniversary or whatever anniversary. I cannot stand your service for this and service for that. I hate the evil you do during those holy times together. I hate your monthly meetings and councils. They have become like heavy weights to me, and I'm tired of carrying them. To you, my words are like the words in a book that is closed and sealed. You come to honor me with your words from your mouths. You give me lip service, but I am not really important to you. The worship you give me is nothing but human rules you have memorized." You know, when I think of the part, "I hate the evil you do during those holy times together," I think of conferences some of these groups have and the things that go on during those conferences. God says, I hate them. I hate your meetings. I hate the evil you do during those holy times together. These are the words of the Lord. There are some who say that such a holy God, a God of love and forgiveness, could not and would not bring disasters upon people. But hear his words as recorded by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 45, verses 6 and 7. He says, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord. There is no other. I mean, I don't know how many times God said that in the book of Isaiah. I am the Lord. There is no other. There's no other God. No other living God, that is. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all of these. I cause the well-being. I create the calamity. I form the light. I do the darkness. I am the Lord who does all of these. God's message to us in this final hour goes first to the churches. You can read those messages in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. His message is clear. If we don't change, he will remove us from our lampstand. Remember, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. I'd like to invite you to visit our website at Prophecy Unveiled the Last Days, www.prophecyunveiled.com, and hear more of our messages given to us by the Lord to give to you. I would also like to invite you that if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you do it today. It's not hard. Just get on your knees and tell him, Lord, I am a sinner. I have sinned against myself and against you. Come into my life and become the Lord of my life. Direct my paths. Direct my ways, O Lord. The Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, as I always say, God loves you and so do we. Until the next time.